So, hi guys, this is the Military History Man, and the first thing we're going to be talking about today is the German weaponry of World War II. Now, the German weapons were quite possibly the best weapons of the war. We're going to start out here with the Luger P-08. The Luger P-08 was a semi-automatic 9mm handgun developed by Georg Luger and was used pretty much throughout the entirety of World War II. But the problem with it was that the internal mechanism was quite fragile and was prone to breaking, which made the production of it expensive, which would proceed to introduce the Walther P-38, a much cheaper plastic a pistol that incorporated many more plastic parts. And that would come to replace the P-08 as the war progressed. Now, the main armament of the German army was the Mauser-Karr 98K, which had a inferior magazine capacity of 5 rounds versus compared to, say, the M1 Garand, which had 8 rounds, and the Lee-Enfield, which had 10 rounds. This was primarily due to Hitler's experience in the First World War, and he absolutely loved the Karr 98, which was the inferior version that was precursor to the Karr 98K. And then his refusal to incorporate the SDG 44 until the later years of the war was one of the reasons that Hitler lost so badly on the Eastern and Western fronts. Now, and that brings us to SDG 44. Now, Hitler was against the production of SDG 44 from the start because that would take over the Karr 98K. Now, the SDG 44 was actually introduced as a machine pistol or some machine gun, because that was the only way Hitler would allow it. Was it w if it would be a submachine gun, not the assault rifle or the main armament of the German army that it was planned to be. So it actually entered production under the status of the MP44, a machine and pistol 44, instead of an assault rifle. So that was, and then once hit they underground they had actually equipped it to armies on the Eastern Front against the Russians, and it performed extremely well. And only until then did Hitler notice its tactical superiority over the Karr 98K. It had a 30-round magazine, was fairly cheap to produce because of stamped parts, and performed extremely well in combat conditions. The main submachine gun of the German army was the famed MP40 or Schmeisser. Now, this also fired the 9mm Parabellum round like the Walther P-08. Now, the Parabellum round was an improved ammunition round that after the war would be the world standard for pistol, submachine gun, basically any type of ammunition. And it was also invented by Georg Luger. So the MP40 was very nicely produced, very nice gun, and it was also made out of stamped parts, which made the weapon much easier to use or produce. And the anti-tank weapon of the German army was the Panzerfaust, which it fired from pressing down on a handle on the weapon, but and then it could also just be the steel handle that the charge was set to. It could just be thrown away and discarded after use. It was very simple, and it did not require a two-man team to operate like the American M1 Bazooka. And now in combat, that can make all the difference between winning and losing a fight. You don't have anyone that's trained to use the weapon, you can't use the weapon effectively. Now the Panzerfaust was just as effective as it was simple to use, because it used a revolutionary new shaped charge, a hollow charge, so that it would concentrate the blast on a very small part of a tank. That way it would be able to blast holes in the sides of the tank much easier. That's it for the German. That's for the German army. German Army's weapons in World War II. Military History Man, signing off. Now, in addition to these weapons, the German army also had some of the best machine guns of the war. The MG34 was the precursor to the MG42, which is an improved version of the MG34. Now, the main point about these two weapons is that they were extremely effective and had very large magazines. Now, if you would compare these giant, like belt-fed magazines to American guns or British guns, they, especially the British, the American gun, the BAR, it had a very small magazine capacity of 20 rounds. In addition, the MG34s and MG42s made a very loud noise, which served as a kind of emotional weapon, a psychological weapon on the fronts, as well as being able to cut down so many Allied forces that it earned the nickname the Hitler's Eater or Hitler's Chainsaw. Right, guys, this is the Military History Man back with some more World War II weaponry. Now we're going to move on to the American weapons of the war, starting out with the famed Thompson submachine gun. Now, just to give you a little bit of background information, the Thompson submachine gun, it was originally marketed as a police weapon, a kind of criminal killer, if you will. So, for the military to adopt something that was originally designed for police forces, they were somewhat reluctant, and was only adopted in small numbers by Marines until the war really got started. So the Thompson submachine gun had a 50-round drum magazine in civilian hands, but the military only adopted 30-round stick mags, which were a lot more compact, easier to carry, but of course they had the lesser magazine capacity. But however, the Thompson performed well in combat and had a large and shot a very large 45 ACP automatic pistol round, which proved effective against killing enemies. But the Thompson submachine gun was expensive to produce, which would lead the United States to create the M3 or M3A1 grease gun, because it looked like a grease gun, and it's fired the same 45 ACP round and performed less. It performed a little bit worse, but still worked, and it saved precious money that could be used in the war effort. And this expensive, and a little bit more information, it was the Thompson submachine gun was used as a lend-lease weapon that was given to Britain before the United States actually started fighting in World War II. Now, this, because of the Thompson's high cost, it would directly lead to the beginning of the production of the Sten submachine gun, the British submachine gun that would be used in World War II. Now we'll get to that in a later segment. Moving on to the American handgun, it is the also famed Colt M1911 handgun. It fired the same 45 ACP pistol, ACP automatic Colt pistol round, which was provided high stopping power against enemies. It was accurate, and it's still being used as a sidearm, even in some of today's modern forces. Moving on to the rifles and carbines. Now, there was M1 carbine, which was similar to that M1 Grand, but had an external box magazine and fired smaller cartridges, so that way it could be smaller and more compact to carry, and also be issued to paratroopers with a collapsible skeleton stock. Now, the M1 Grand was arguably the most widely used American weapon of the war. It was deadly, had a high rate of fire, and accurate, fired a very large round, but it had one major factory defect. When the cartridge was ejected, the gun would emit an audible ping, letting attackers know that the weapon was out of ammo. However, as with all disadvantages, it could be turned into an advantage. So what American soldiers would do would carry a spare empty clip with them, so and then they would take it and throw it into the ground, emitting the same ping as it would when the gun ejected the spent clip. So when that happened, enemies would come out of their hiding holes, and then the Americans would shoot them, thereby turning a disadvantage into an advantage. Moving on to the light machine gun that the Americans would have used in World War II. Now, this would be called the BAR, Browning Automatic Rifle. Now, it performed well, and it was also used by the infamous outlaws Bonnie and Clyde, but it had a very small magazine capacity for a light machine gun, and only 20 rounds. Now, if you compare this to like the German MG-34, MG-42, which had a capacity of 50 rounds and beyond, 75 rounds, 100 rounds, it was significantly inferior to that. Now, originally, Browning, the creator of the weapon, had originally designed it to be the main soldier's armament, the M1 Garand, in a way, but it didn't. The U.S. Army adopted it in a different role. Now, moving on to the infantry weapons, anti-tank weapon, the M1 Bazooka. Now, I've already gone over how this weapon was inferior, as it required a trained two-man team. In contrast to the Panzerfaust, which only needed one person, it could be relatively untrained. The weapon was fairly simple and easy, and thereby easy to produce. It was only a hollowed-out tube, but the rockets were not as effective at destroying armor than the Panzerfaust. This is the Military History Man, signing off. And another weapon to the American forces was the famed trench broom or semi-automatic shotgun. Now, this had originally originated in World War I, and it was very effective and very deadly. So deadly, in fact, that the German forces claimed that it was inhumane by how much pain and suffering it caused. Of course, that claim is probably somewhat biased, but it was very effective, but then in World War II, the Germans adapted their own shotguns, such as the M30 Luftwaffe drilling shotgun that was carried by pilots. This is the Military History Man, and now we're going to be going over the British weapons of World War II. Now, I said before that the American Thompson would lead to the Sten, and that's what we're going to start off with. So, the Sten was a submachine gun that was produced through stamped parts, making it cheap to produce, because they wanted to offset the costs of the Thompson that they had been purchasing from the United States. But, however, this low cost did not come without consequences, and several times the Sten would jam, making it not as effective in combat as more expensive weapons such as the American Thompson. Moving on to the main rifle of the British Army in World War II was the Lee Enfield. It was a very well-made weapon. It had a fairly high magazine capacity of 10 rounds and fired a very large bullet. It was very effective in combat conditions. The main sidearm was the Webley Mark VI revolver, which had provided high stopping power, but because it lacked a conventional magazine, it had low capacity and reload times were long. Moving on to the light machine gun of the British Army, it was the Bren gun, which looked rather unique at the time. It had a top-loading magazine of only 30 rounds, which was, again, lower than the German MG-34 or 32 weapons. But the gun was still worked fairly well in combat. Now, the British anti-tank weapon at the time was the PIAT, which stood for Projector Infantry Anti-Tank. It was a very cheaply made weapon, which lowered costs, of course, but it was very fragile. If you dented it, it was basically useless. And the method of firing was quite simple, not in a good way. It took you put a rocket in this little slot, and then it had a spring that would launch the rocket at the tank. So, yeah, quite rudimentary, if you would ask me.